The reading this morning is from Paul's first letter to Timothy. If you're following it in your own Bible, it begins chapter 6, verse 3. Otherwise, it will be on the overhead. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives light to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Sometimes being a Christian is like trying to get up the down escalator. You ever tried to do that? Have to get going at it and have a good run. And by the time you've dodged everyone trying to come down on the down escalator, you get a bit knackered and you have a little rest. You can tell I've done that. I was a little bit younger at the time. And when you're resting, you find yourself being moved very quickly back down. And the Christian life can be like that. The world is constantly trying to pull us down, away from God. And very often we're journeying against the flow, and it's tough. And so we have a rest. We back off a little from some of our Christian commitments, home groups, prayer meetings, whatever. And very quickly, we start flowing away from the Lord. And it's amazing how quick it happens. So if we take a rest in our Christian journey, we don't stay still, we get carried away from God. And so we've got to fight to gain back some of the ground. And the Christian life has always been hard. Not just 21st century Stoke or Newcastle, wherever you want to regard yourselves as from, but first century Ephesus. Ephesus, where Timothy was serving, contained one of the seven wonders of the world, the cult of Artemis, the temple of Artemis. And, well, Paul got into trouble there, Acts chapter 19, when he said that these man-made gods, they made these little statues of Artemis. And these man-made gods are not gods at all, and the silversmiths weren't too happy. And there was a riot, an attack on Christians. So Ephesus was not an easy place for a Christian. And on top of the opposition outside of the church, there were false teachers inside of the church, people leading church astray. and Timothy was the church leader there. And well, he's called timid Timothy, so he wasn't particularly a robust leader. And false teaching, well, it leads to materialism and greed, the love of money. It leads to spiritual drifting, wandering from the faith. It leads to personal and societal problems, many griefs. Sort of, well, it describes our nation, actually, at the moment, doesn't it? And, you know, just in passing, the thing which has struck me, we had a day of prayer for Brexit. We've not been called to a day of prayer and repentance and fasting for this. There's a prayer, if you go on the Church of England website, there's a prayer we can say about it. But it's just struck me. I'll leave that one there. Paul knew that Timothy would be tempted to go with the flesh. Maybe he was at breaking point. So verse 20, guard against, turn away from idle chatter. And notice how he addresses Timothy. You, man of God, you are not a man of the world. And that phrase, man of God, was often used of the Old Testament prophets as they stood against people who had turned their backs on God. Paul is saying, you stand as a man of God against all that is wrong in the church and in the world around you. And to do this, he gives Timothy three bits of advice: to flee, to follow, and to fight. Flee from all of this, the love of money, the wandering from the faith, and all the other temptations Paul has been addressing in the earlier chapters. And this fleeing is not what you do when you're about to go on an escape from it all holiday. I mean, there you take your time. You choose the nicest hotel that you can afford. You pack all the things you want. For us men, yeah, a few things. For the women, actually in our house it's the other way around, but that's because the military, I have to have at least 4 pairs of shoes and 6 uniforms just for a weekend, but that's by the by. But that is not fleeing. You've seen the pictures of the forest fires and the tsunamis, or you've seen the aftermath of people fleeing from war. There's no time for planning. People just put all their things, their valuable things, into something and run off. Paul is saying, run away. Flee from these things. Give no leeway for temptation, but follow what is good. And there's a list of 6 things that Timothy is to follow: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Actually, by the way, follow is not quite right, because you can follow along aimlessly, can't you? Paul is urging Timothy to pursue these things. So he's saying to Timothy and to us to be active, not passive, flee from what is wrong, and positively pursue, follow, hold on to, grab hold of what is right. And thirdly, fight the good fight. And this is not a Muslim jihad. It's not an earthly warfare. It's a spiritual war. So in Ephesians, and Ephesus is the town where Timothy is ministering, in Ephesians, Paul talks about the spiritual armor. And there's a lot of overlap between the armor mentioned in that passage and what Paul is talking or telling Timothy to pursue. So Timothy is being urged to keep fighting, keep contending for the truth of the gospel, not cower in a corner and allow the false teachers to lead the church astray. And the same can be said for us. This is not about living a quiet life. Paul says to Timothy, as he fights against all this stuff, to take hold of eternal life to which you are called. Eternal life. Yes, life which lasts forever in heaven. But it's also a quality of life. It's not about just going on forever and ever. It's life with God. And Jesus, in his words, in his prayer, just before he was crucified, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17, verse 3. And it's a life in fellowship with God through Jesus. And that begins now. So eternal life is a present possession as well as a future hope. You see, it's perfectly possible to have something and not really take possession of it. So my dad, we would give him his Christmas presents and he would open one or two and then just put them down by the side of his armchair and fall asleep, forget about them. And my mum would tidy them away. So a few days later, well, he's got the Christmas presents. They just lie in their packages, waiting to be opened and enjoyed. And the same can be true of the Christian life. God gives us all that we need to fight and to live for Christ, but it is possible never to rely on him in any practical way. And so you don't launch out in faith for God, and you never really discover what happens when you start to obey him. You never discover the good things that are waiting for you when you take hold of eternal life. So Paul says, take hold of these things. Take hold of eternal life to which you have been called. And I don't know. If you noticed that threaded through this passage is a theme which keeps cropping up. There's stories about people making lots of money or losing lots of money, and they always make good headlines. And the fact is, we live in a consumer society where material possessions and desire to make more and more money. So millions play the lottery each week in the hope that this week will be their lucky break. Or we have the advertising, and the message is always the same: buy this product because you need it, it will make you better, you deserve it. And so we're always taken in. Now, believe it or not, the problem of materialistic culture is not new. The Apostle Paul faced it in his ministry in the first century, the love of money and possessions. And he's warning Timothy against false teachers. And one of the things these false teachers were doing is being taken in by the love of money. And not only are they peddling a false gospel, they are making money out of it. So notice what Paul says, the end of verse 5. Talking of the false teachers, they have been robbed of the truth, and they think that godliness is a means of financial gain. And so threaded through this passage are another three headings. You're getting value for money today. Two sermons for the price of one. Okay? So Christians are meant to be countercultural. Now please, this is not about making us feel guilty or pressured into giving more. It's about reflecting the character of our generous Heavenly Father who's given so much. So the false teachers, they were using religion to make money, and often it's materialism which stops people today going all out for God. We'll go all out for God when we're better on in our career. Or we'll go all out for God when we've bought our house. Or we'll go all out for God when we retire. And then when they've retired, they're a bit too doddery to do anything. You see, they just keep putting it off and off and off. And so Paul gives three commands from this passage, which is one way we can fight the good fight. Be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're to aim for godliness and be content with what we have materially. And how can we be content? Well, listen to Paul speaking in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. And what is the secret? He goes on, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So his contentment springs from his relationship with God. He's content because he's got something far more important than material possessions and wealth. And if you are growing like Christ and delighting in God and you're freed from the covetous greed that afflicts so many in our land, that is real gain, says Paul. And why should we have that attitude? Well, we brought nothing into the world and we'll take nothing out. But if you have food and clothing, you'll be content with that. Life, it's just a brief journey between two nakednesses, birth and death. A woman once asked a vicar after the funeral of a very wealthy woman, Vicar, how much did she leave? She was thinking about her will and all that stuff. The vicar replied, everything, madam. What's the point of piling up your wealth and riches which you cannot take with you? This life is preparation for eternity. We're simply pilgrims and must travel lightly. And if we're so attached after the things of this world that we acquire and pine for as much as we can get, then we're making a foolish mistake. Contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so Paul says, be warned. He wants us to be under no illusions of the dangers of wealth. Now, the Bible is not against rich people or whatever. You know, Abraham and Job, they were some of the richest people of their day. But verse 10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And let's not misquote that verse. Money is not the problem. The love of money. And it leads to serious difficulties. It starts with a desire to get rich, which Paul says is a temptation and a trap. And it leads to many foolish and harmful desires. And eventually it plunges people into ruin and destruction. It's a downward spiral which only leads to disaster and destruction. And the sad fact is that too many discover that fact too late. One writer put it this way, money is like seawater. The more you drink of it, the thirstier you become. And time again, we read of some terrible trouble that's arisen because of huge lottery winnings or something like that. But more importantly, it leads to spiritual disaster. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You're running the risk of a shipwreck of your faith. In short, if you follow the yellow brick road, it will lead you to hell. What good is it if a man gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Yes, says Paul, some have wandered from the faith. And you might say, look, I don't want to be rich. I just want a little bit more. I just want to be comfortable. Where's the harm in that? Well, it's a very dangerous game to play, because when will it stop? John Paul Getty, one of the richest men in the world, was asked how much more money he wanted. And he said, just a little bit more. And for the Christian, it demonstrates actually that we're not willing to trust God. Paul has already said, be content with the basics. God's going to provide us with all that we need, but not necessarily what we want. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Be warned. But thirdly, most importantly, be generous. Because generosity is the antidote to materialism. And generosity is a wonderful thing because it reflects the generous spirit of our Heavenly Father. You, man of God, flee from all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And these are the qualities of someone who's living for God. And what will that mean practically for the wealthy? Well, verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And those of us in the Western world, even those of us who consider ourselves to be less well off, we are rich compared to millions in our world. And Paul says, don't put your trust in wealth. Wealth is fleeting. It's prone to stock market collapses, burglars, fire, flood, and death. But when our hope is in God, then we have a sure anchor for ourselves. And when we hope in God, we joyfully use our worldly riches for his glory and his good. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And notice then, verse 18, that our generosity includes our deeds as well as our wealth. We're to be generous in every aspect of our life, our time, our actions, our talents. And what is it that the church needs at the moment? I mean, our church here. Last week, Simon was asking for leaders and young people. Can that be you? That's offering of our deeds. And why are we to do that? Because God is our supreme giver. And something we remember when we share bread, and normally share the wine as well, He's the one who is the model of generosity. He is the one who gives us the wealth in the first place. And it's only because he's given us so much that we can give to others. And in that sense, our wealth is not really ours to use. It's on loan. To do with as our true master sees fit. In this way, says Paul, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming of the age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life, because that is the reality. You'll use your worldly wealth for the kingdom of God, knowing that this treasure lasts forever. It's the question of where your heart is, the question of what we are passionate about, the question of what you and I value most. Flee from the things of this world. Follow what is good and fight the good fight. And we do that by being content in God. Amen.